We're going to read the scriptures from John's Gospel, John chapter 1. John chapter 1, we will begin our reading with the first verse of this chapter. Let us consider the Word of God carefully here. I know this is very familiar. We have been reading it in the month of December. And we trust that the Lord will bless His Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It is so amazing that this term is used for a member of the Godhead. God is telling us that this is not only one of the names of the second person of the Godhead, but He is God's Word to us. He is the message as well as the mediator. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. We end our reading there at verse 14, and we trust that the Lord will bless His Word to our hearts. So we are very glad tonight to be here to celebrate the Lord's Supper. We're going back to John chapter 1. And there's one verse of scripture there that I'm going to reread. And this is very familiar, I know. But I don't believe this passage is quite as familiar as 1 Corinthians chapter 11 regarding the Lord's Supper. Verse 14. Of John chapter 1. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You know, there was no absolute necessity that compelled the sovereign triune God to even create. I don't know if you've ever thought about that, but there was no absolute necessity in God to create. God could have spent eternity, as He had been spending it before the creation, in the perfect satisfaction, the love, and the enjoyment of himself in his three divine persons in all of his perfections and attributes. But out of his mere good pleasure, he chose to create for the spreading forth of his glory among his creatures. Now, in the vast creation, God shows us only some little sparkles of his infinite greatness in his creation. The vast creation that we see only shows us a little of the greatness of God. You can today spend your whole lifetime in a science laboratory examining the vast created structures and functions of a single insect or a single leaf. It is most amazing the structures that can be seen in the insect, even in the outer hull of an insect, or even in a leaf, and the various structures that God has put on the inside of these created things. The book of nature reveals to us something of God's attributes. Romans chapter 1 reveals to us that the things that are seen, we know by that God's eternal power and Godhead. They are manifest. And certainly we can say that even in viewing the creation, we know that God who created is very wise. But even if you consider his wisdom, his power, his eternity, and his Godhead, yet there is no way that we can know God through those attributes. We can only know God and have a relationship of love with him through special revelation. We cannot, through nature or through reason, come to know God or to love him. It is only through the mystery of the incarnation that we really know and love God. You know, God created Adam and Eve in his image. He endowed them with great knowledge, power, and holiness. But each of their attributes had their limitations. And they chose to sin. They chose to turn from the great eternal God, who in his vast mercy had already devised a way of saving them and saving us. But it is only through the mystery of the incarnate God that we can know God and that we can love him. To know and to love him, we must come to know more of his attributes than we know through creation. If you think about God's creation, we know that there are some of the lower creation that have abilities that extend beyond us. There are animals that have much better sight and much better hearing than we have. We know a little about the angels, but there are possibly attributes about the angels of which we know nothing. And there could very well be other attributes about our God that he has not chosen to reveal to us. But our first parents had very great power and knowledge beyond what we have by nature. But after they fell, they lost so much of the blessings of the image of God. They did not lose the image of God entirely, but they lost it substantially. And in that time of the fall, there was immediately instituted substitutionary blood sacrifices. Even as their nakedness was covered with the animal skins, the blood sacrifices were instituted, and throughout the Old Testament, the priests, the prophets, and the kings revealed the way that God had for them to look forward to what He would do. And we thank God that through the Old Testament, even though that revelation was not a full and a perfect revelation, not a saving revelation in the rituals of it, but it is actually as it pointed forward to the incarnation of God in Christ Jesus, that our brethren in the Old Testament came to believe on the Lord. And it is through the incarnate God that we can both know and love God. John wrote here in verse 14 of the Word, and he says, "We beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." It is the very human nature of Christ. It is through that we see and we learn who God is. As we observe the God-man, we see in the Gospels His actions. We read His words. We come to know something of His feelings that are expressed there through His words and His actions. And thus we learn the very virtues and the holiness of God. In every word, in every gesture of Jesus Christ, we see the invisible Godhead breaking forth. For how could we know God except He stooped to us to become a man, to be bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh? As we watch the obedience of this adorable person, as He rendered that obedience to His Father, it was all given in and through and by His human nature. And, of course, He is the pattern for our obedience. But that obedience that He rendered to the Father was an obedience that is also a vicarious obedience. As well as His death, His life was in our behalf. Well, we praise God for the incarnation, because it was only through the incarnation that we could see the suffering attributes of the God-man. If Adam had remained sinless, there would never have been a sigh. There would never have been a tear shed on the earth. But after the fall, the misery of sin, all of its dreadful consequences in suffering and death came upon this planet and upon not only the human race, but upon the whole creation. And thus, it became necessary that the very captain of our salvation would be made perfect through suffering. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10. Now, understand this, that there was no perfecting of His divine nature. It was His human nature that had to experience this suffering. And it is through the suffering virtues, the suffering attributes of our Savior, that we behold Him and we come to love Him. As we see Jesus in His poverty, in His lowliness, even in His fear and in His griefs, we behold a perfect excellence. As we look upon His patience and His pity and His forgiveness, His moving among the sick and the suffering, His raising the dead, we see Jesus. And we see Him in His weariness, in His hunger, in His thirst, and even without a place to lay his head. And do we not find that our hearts go out to him in his suffering virtues in particular? Do we not identify with him in that way? We can feel with him. We can identify with the God-man. So it's so wonderful that God would not only create, but that God would provide an incarnate Savior. God manifest in the flesh. When in Gethsemane and on the cross, we see his suffering virtues marked in blood and in tears. But you know, none of these virtues could have been shown to us unless the Word had been made flesh and dwelt among us. The sight of Jesus Christ is the nearest view that we will ever have of God. Let me say that again. The sight of Jesus Christ is the nearest view that we will ever have of God. Now, in the glory, you can perceive something of the Shekinah, the shining glory of God in the persons of the Godhead besides the Lord Jesus Christ. But how can we identify with that? We praise God for the human nature of Christ. That is, the glorified Christ. We're going to be like him. But the sight of Jesus Christ is the nearest view that we will ever have of God. The wounds of Jesus and his dying love reveal to us as the Word of God the great mystery of the gospel that has been hid in God from the beginning of the world. The Son of God, who is the fullness of the Godhead bodily, by his becoming incarnate, has shown us more of the Godhead than has ever been seen anywhere before in the whole universe. By his becoming incarnate. Jesus of Nazareth, very God and very man, so lived, so felt, so spoke, and so suffered to show us his deity through his manhood. Without the incarnation, God's love, his grace, his long suffering would be to us just some distant abstractions. We would know nothing of the love, the grace of God were it not for his incarnation. Jesus said, very simply, when he was on earth, he that hath seen me has seen the Father. There it is. Both in this world and in the world to come, we know more of God because of the incarnation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We not only come to know God through the incarnation, it is through this that we come to love him. Why would we love him? And how could we love him? Well, we've been given commands, even from the Old Testament, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with our mind, with our soul and our strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. But how could we do that? There is no way that we could even begin to obey and fulfill those commandments without this wonderful redemption that God has chosen for us. He has made this wonderful redemption in and through the incarnate Christ in order to claim our affections, that they would be directed to him, that our affections would especially terminate upon him for his glory. Now, what does he do in order to bring us to love himself? Well, he has sent Christ, and he moves condemned sinners to call upon him, to trust in him, to rest in him, and to love him for what? For his free grace and for his salvation. And what a relief many of us have found from guilt and from the bondage of sin. Thus we can say with the apostle, we love him because he first loved us. But how could we ever obey the commandment to love God if he was only a religious fact or an abstraction somewhere out there in the vastness of God's creation and God's eternity? It is by the incarnation that God has come so near to us so we can know him and love him. By nature, we do not know God. By nature, we do not love God. Rather, it is, as Luther said, the very thought of God strikes fear and trembling. We are naturally brought to terror with the very idea of God. It brings fear into our hearts. So how is love to such a being possible? It is through God manifest in the flesh. It is by faith in our loving, bleeding, dying Savior that we come to love God. For no man cometh unto the Father but by Christ. It was that precious baby, the incarnate God, who grew up, who obeyed God for us. And it was on that cross above all things that attracted our hearts to him. It is this crucified, buried, risen Christ who sustains us through the troubles of this world and will ultimately take us to himself. Thank God, he who would have been perfectly just and happy to have spent eternity without putting up with us, without putting up with any of our sin, chose to create, and he chose to provide salvation for sinners in Christ. Praise his name. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Without his incarnation, God's attributes, beside those that we can see from the creation, would just be so many abstractions. We would know nothing of them. Well, praise God for our Savior.